The term hurricane season has come to mean two different yet distinct things around here. I think many of us are Carolina Hurricane fans, and man, we cheered them on hard this year, and they came up just a little bit short, and we're certainly hoping that next season they can get over the top and make it to the Cup Finals. The other meaning, of course, of hurricane season has to do with weather. And that kind of season is set to begin this week on June 1st and run all the way through the end of November. In recent years, we've seen around here locally limited damage due to hurricanes, and I certainly hope that's the case this year. Weather forecasters are predicting it to be an average hurricane season with somewhere between 13 and 15 named storms, 6 or 7 hurricanes, and of those, 2 or 3 major storms. Of course, it only takes one storm to devastate a community. And so lots of us pay attention to the weather during this time of year because of our own beach plans and vacations at the coast. We want warm weather and sunshine. We didn't get that this weekend, but that's what we hope for. And as long as that's in the forecast, we're happy. But we get concerned when the weather people start talking about hurricane watches and warnings. Now, the difference between a hurricane watch and a hurricane warning is this. A watch occurs when the conditions are right for a hurricane. With a watch, we usually have several days to figure out if a hurricane is in fact coming our way. And this is when we usually start paying closer attention to the weather forecast. A warning happens when a hurricane is identified as coming into our area. And we usually have just a day or two to plan, prepare, and act. Now, we keep watch so that we will be ready to move and take action in the event of a warning. And that's an idea that we can apply to moving with the Holy Spirit. We should be watching for God's Spirit and ready to move when we see it coming our way. Sometimes God's Spirit comes on us like a spring breeze, gently encouraging us to move in a new direction. But other times, the movement of the Holy Spirit looks and feels more like a hurricane with 100-mile-an-hour wind gusts that can literally knock the socks off our feet. And something like this happened to Jesus' followers in Acts. Several weeks had passed since the resurrection, but they continued to meet together, they prayed together, they pondered all the things that had happened. They wondered what would come next, and they were trying their best to understand what Jesus wanted for them. We might even say that the conditions were right for God's Spirit to move among them. And that's what happened. A mighty gust of wind began to blow, and they moved quickly from the watch phase into a full-out warning. All of this happened on the day of Pentecost. The 12 apostles were gathered in Jerusalem for a festival called Pentecost. And that word literally means 50th day. It's the 50th day after the celebration of the Passover. Jews from all around the Mediterranean region, including, in the scripture notes, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, along with residents of a dozen other regions, had gathered for this festival. Acts provides a brief report of what happened. In verse 2, it says, "Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." Now, this wind was fierce. It was strong. But it wasn't a hurricane. Its power came from God. And the scripture says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And people not only spoke in other languages, but they were able to understand what was spoken. Now, I want you to try to imagine that scene. Imagine what Jesus' friends were feeling. They were shocked. They were terrified. They were transfixed. They were amazed. And imagine what it was like for the thousands of people in that neighborhood who were caught up in that storm. They must have looked on with wide eyes, wondering what they were witnessing. When it comes to the movement of the Holy Spirit, I think we often want a gentle, kind nudging that pushes us in the right direction, but doesn't push us too hard because we like being on familiar ground. Sometimes we do get this from God's Spirit. But sometimes the Spirit moves more like a hurricane swirling around us. It can be terrifying. In the moment, we just want to hang on to what we know, and we hope that the storm will go by and leave us safely where we are. When the Spirit is trying to move us in a new direction, it can feel risky. It can provoke anxiety. And if we're not careful, we may fail to recognize that it's the Holy Spirit who is trying to move us. And so that leads me to ask this. What conditions need to be present that enable us to recognize and then move with God's Spirit? Well, I think it starts with community. Let's return to our scripture passage. The apostles were effective because there were 12 of them, not just one. Now, there were 12 people who were listening to God and discerning what to do. Individually, they didn't always get things right, but collectively, they worked through problems. They identified the places where God was working and leading, and then they carried out that work together that they were called to do. Community is essential to helping us discern the Holy Spirit. An equally important factor for us in seeing the Spirit, I think, has to do with authenticity. Now, the apostles weren't trying to be religious big shots. They weren't trying to impress people with their insights. They weren't trying to, if you will, grow their brand. But they began to speak in other languages, and the Jews and the others, those God-fearing people from other nations who saw this were utterly amazed. And they said, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? See, Galilee was the backcountry. It was out in the sticks. It was the boondocks. No one expected a group from Galilee to master all the diverse languages of the world. They weren't multilingual people. They weren't well-educated or well-traveled. And yet on the day of Pentecost, they were seen speaking in many different languages. But they weren't putting on a show. They were just being themselves. They were being authentic. And God worked through their authenticity in a powerful way. A third condition that prepared the apostles to move with the Holy Spirit was their devotion. Let's remember that they had gathered for a religious festival. They were in Jerusalem to worship God alongside other God-fearing people from every nation in that region of the world. They had made worship a priority. It was part of an intentional devotional life. And so on the day of Pentecost, the conditions were right for the apostles to connect to God's power and move with the Spirit. Now, we put ourselves in position to move with the Spirit when we cultivate similar conditions in our lives. And so let's think through what this means. And I'd like us to start with the first one that I mentioned, community. We need to be in community with one another if our faith is going to grow. And this means we should focus on gathering together for worship, Bible study, and fellowship. And we should work together in ministry and missions. These are the kinds of things that the church should be doing. Now, as a side note, the first time the word church is used in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 16. And the original Greek word that's used there is the word ecclesia. It literally means gathering. Now, in the book of Acts, Barnabas and Saul gathered with the church in Antioch. And that was the city in which the disciples were first called Christians. They were seen gathering together. Now, we need to gather together to be the church. And let's remember that Jesus is with us when we come together in community, just as he promised in Matthew chapter 18. He said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I will be with them." And when we assemble as a community for worship, Bible study, and fellowship, we find inspiration, insight, and guidance. It's when we stop participating in church life that our faith tends to cool off because the isolation hurts us. Gathering as a community is a critical factor in the vitality and the health of a church. We need each other. We need the help of each other to move with the Holy Spirit. Now, gathering as a community is needed for effective ministry and mission as well. Individuals can have brilliant ideas. They can have the most creative ideas, but implementation requires a team. Now, how many individuals can you think of who have pursued a ministry idea on their own, became frustrated when they couldn't achieve those dreams? You know, ministry and mission requires the effort of a team, a group of people who want to work together in following God's Spirit. And coming together really helps us thrive. And when we gather as a church, we can thrive when we're united like this. We should also do this authentically. We should be true to who we are, not who we think we should be. We don't have to be picture-perfect Christians for God's Spirit to work in and among us. Just look at the Apostle Peter. He was a Galilean and a fisherman by trade. He didn't try to be a spiritual superstar. In fact, he denied Jesus three times just a few months prior. And he certainly didn't hold any special status when he came to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He wasn't some celebrity. He wasn't a VIP. He was a small fish in the eyes of the world. But he used his own voice to speak the truth. He said to the crowd that had gathered there, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." Now, they had assumed that all those words that the apostles were babbling in other languages was the result of drinking too much alcohol. But Peter said that wasn't the case. And he pointed them to the words of the prophet Joel, who said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." God used Peter because he wasn't trying to be something that he wasn't. He was true to himself. And that enabled him to be open to the ways the Holy Spirit would work in his own life to change him and then to work through him to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think the world craves authenticity. And it simply needs the church to be real. You know, we don't have to hide our warts and our imperfections. In fact, God takes those things and He uses them for His glory. And I think so much more good happens when we do live in authentic, genuine ways. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking for from us. Now, one other condition that positions us to move with the Holy Spirit is our devotion to the Lord, which puts us in the right place at the right time. The apostles were in the right place at the right time. They came to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. They came to worship God, and the Lord came on them like a mighty wind. When we're intentional with our worship, our Bible study, and our service to others, we are in a position to catch the Spirit of God. We're in a position to hear a fresh word or a new challenge or an invitation to go in a new direction. Sometimes this is really comforting. Sometimes it can be really terrifying because it feels so risky. It looks hard. And the truth is that God's Spirit sometimes blows like a hurricane because it wants to change us in a significant way so that the good news of Jesus Christ might be spread to others. The Spirit of God is moving in our world today. We are invited to follow. But to do so, we have to be able to recognize it. So have you cultivated the conditions in your life to see the Spirit? If you haven't, well, then I encourage you to work on the things that I've mentioned. You know, how might you engage more deeply with Christian community? What steps might you take to live a more authentic life? And how might you grow your commitment and your devotion to the Lord? These are things that all of us can work on that will help us see the Lord and move with God's Spirit. And I hope and I pray we will do so. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we celebrate today that Your Spirit is moving in the world. Sometimes it blows like a gentle breeze, and sometimes it comes like a mighty wind. But either way, we pray that we would not fear Your presence or mistake the way You're moving for something else. Help us clearly see You. Help us be ready to recognize Your Spirit when it moves so that we might move with You and grow in our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.